Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone. God bless you. Amen. Are you excited to be in God's house today? Amen. It's one of the most significant Sundays of the year where we celebrate the foundation of our faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. So it's a joy to have all of you here. For those who are our guests, we are excited that you chose this church of all places to celebrate your Easter. If you're looking, seeking, and perhaps, looking for a church family, this is a great place. We promise you will find a home here and a family here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. After the service, we'd like to meet with you. If you are worshiping for the first time, when you go to the lobby, there's a place called Guest Lounge. Please come to the lounge. We hope we have enough space for you there. But we'd like to at least give you a little gift. Appreciate your coming and hopefully establish a relationship with you. Amen. All right, before we go into the word today, I have a few announcements that I'm going to make, and I want you to please pay attention. It's quite a few of them, but I will announce something I haven't announced before. Many of you who are members of Agape House and have been here for a while, you are aware that we are part of a network. Our church is part of a network of churches called Christ Covenant Coalition, simply called CCC, right? Under the leadership of Bishop Matera, who is the leader and who is my bishop. Between Thursday, April 11 and 13, we will be hosting about 50 pastors here for a conference, amen? We have a yearly annual conference of the pastors within the organization. About 50, 60 pastors will be hosting here from Thursday through Saturday, all right? It will be very engaging among the pastors. But on Friday, April 12, all right, I want you to note that down. Friday, April 12, in the evening, there will be an open service, all right? So the pastors would like to have an open meeting with everybody being there. Our church will be present. Some of the other pastors who have churches around, we invite their congregation and we will have a wonderful service. So please, you are invited to come and join us. You get to meet some of the pastors within the network, and it will be a great time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you will get emails, invitation, but I just want to give you context so you know. Now, I have a few more. Today is our meet and greet. So after service today, if you have been coming to Agape in the last few months and you want to take your relationship to the next level, we normally have what we call meet and greet. That's an opportunity to sit down and meet with me, meet with my wife, some of the leaders will be there. It takes place in the prayer room. It will take place right after service for like 45 minutes or so. We get to connect with you more. So please, it's in the prayer room, which is behind me here. You just get to go to one of these doors, make a right. You will see the prayer room there. So please join us. Amen. Now, at 2 p.m., we have something very special going on here. That's our Easter play, and it is titled The Second Coming. I watched the play on Thursday. The first showing was on Thursday. It was amazing. Amen. And I'm looking forward to watch it again. Amen. We want you to either stay around, go to a restaurant and eat something. I think Hebrew Cafe might have some things for you that will... All right? For those of you who are, you live close by, you can go home and come back at 2. Some of us can't afford to do that. We have to hang around somehow, all right, find something to do. But 2 p.m., we want to see all of you here. But we also want you to post it, invite your friends to come join us to be part of this wonderful presentation by our drama team and the Jai production. Amen. And we're excited. Amen. Wow. This weekend is a packed weekend. All right. Tonight, we're going to have our Command Your Month prayer at 9 p.m. This is the last day of March. Amen. So every last day of the month, we pray from 9 to 10 for the coming month. All right. So we call it Commanding Your Month, Command Your Month prayer. Don't worry, you don't have to come back here for that one. Because I could see everybody say, oh my God. And that is going to be on our prayer line. All right. I don't know if you can display that, but you'll get email. The phone number can be displayed if you have it ready. If you don't, you can just check with our information booth in the lobby. They will give you the information about the prayer. Amen. Then this Friday, we have our fresh outpouring service. But there's something special about this one. We're going to have baptism service. We have a number of people who have signed up to be baptized. It's going to be exciting. I think we're going to have maybe 25, 30 people, right? I have to go to the gym to prepare for that. You know, to lower people and bring them up. All right? All right, so it's going to be exciting. Amen. So join us on Friday at 8 p.m. We'll be closing the registration, I believe, tonight. So if you still want to be part of the baptism, you still have maybe a little window to join. You know, so God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for resurrection. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for the meaning of resurrection. Thank you for the fact of resurrection. And thank you for the efficacy of the power of resurrection. Resurrection gives us hope. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. We thank you. We give you glory. Let your word come alive today. Let it bless us. Let it encourage us, empower us. Give us life. In Jesus' name. Amen. The significance of resurrection is that we have a God who is alive. All right? Hallelujah. We don't just read about his story. We don't just read about his life, his account. We can meet him. And that's important. We can encounter him. And I know many people here, I pray for you that you will encounter Jesus. You will meet him. You will experience him. There's a big difference between having heard about somebody and encountering and meeting them in person. It makes a huge difference. There's something you know about someone because you have met them. Yeah, you can read a lot about somebody. You can study who they are, understand, know about their features, about their character. But until you meet them, you don't really know them. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus being alive is very important. Now, Jesus introduces himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 in a very powerful way to John. Now, John, this is many years after the resurrection. John was taken to the island of Patmos. And Jesus appears to John and introduces himself to John. Look at how he introduces himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I am the living one. Hallelujah. I am the living one. He said, I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. Hallelujah. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. That is the meaning of resurrection. That's why resurrection is important. We can encounter our Savior. Very important. And when we encounter Jesus, and that's really what I want to talk about today, it makes the difference. Encountering Jesus makes a significant difference. Now, Jesus, when he was here on earth, in person, everybody that met him changed. Everybody that encountered Jesus never remained the same. Hallelujah. And that's the characteristics of, say, of Jesus. No one meets Jesus and remains the same. It changes their life. It changes their purpose. It changes the meaning of life. It changes everything about you. That is what it means to encounter Jesus. Let's start from the disciples. The disciples were very ordinary people, insignificant. A bunch of them were fishermen. We know one of them was a tax collector. But Jesus changed their lives. He changed their story. He gave them a life far better than what they could have imagined. He gave them the kind of life that is far more significant than what they could have hoped for. In fact, when Jesus met them in Matthew chapter 4, he met a few of them, about two of them, Simon and his brother, Andrew. The Bible says he met them casting a net into the sea. They were fishing, all right? They were doing what they normally do ordinarily, what they probably inherited from their father. Once in those days, your father is a fisherman, you become a fisherman. There's nothing special. And Jesus met them. In verse 19, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I'm not sure they understood what Jesus was talking about. I mean, but they obeyed. They followed. And Jesus made something significant out of them. 2,000 years later, we still read about Peter. We read about Andrew. We read about the disciples. The Bible says they literally turned the world upside down. Jesus turned their life from ordinary life to extraordinary lives. Jesus put their name in world history. I mean, they live in their little town, little villages of Bethlehem, Jerusalem, wherever they were. Their encounter with Jesus made them people of history. That is what it means to meet Jesus. There's a woman that we read about a lot in Luke chapter 8. We don't even know her name, but we call her the woman with the issue of blood. Sick, broke, and hopeless. The Bible said he's been sick for 12 years, hemorrhaging, bleeding, obviously weak from all that. As if that was not enough, the Bible said he has spent everything she had. Of course, when you are sick, you would do anything to get well. But she tried from one doctor to another doctor. Nothing worked. At this point of her life, she was broke. No cure, still sick, and broke. But she met Jesus. Hallelujah. She met Jesus. She didn't just read about Jesus. She met Jesus. And the Bible says she said to herself, I'm going to go beyond meeting. I'm going to touch him. Hallelujah. I'm going to touch Jesus. And what happened? She said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. And because of our encounter with Jesus, our life was transformed. Our story changed completely. She was healed, but it goes beyond healing. She got her dignity back, right? Because in those days, if you are bleeding, you are ostracized. You can't go to the temple. You are considered unclean. You can't do so many things. Of course, you have to just imagine how much preparation she has to go through to even go out. Weak. But because of her encounter with Jesus, everything changes. Hallelujah. I am praying that you will have an encounter with Jesus. I'm praying that your relationship with Jesus will go beyond just knowing about him, hearing about him, to truly meeting him. In fact, my job this morning is to invite you to meet Jesus. Hallelujah. There's another woman. We call her the Samaritan woman. Again, we don't necessarily know her name, but we know her story. And our story is significant. We find our story in John chapter 4. It's a long passage. Hallelujah. This woman has had an unusual life. She's been married 5 times. Wow. Just imagine I'm sure she's tired of getting married. By this time, she was tired. The 6th guy, she said, I am not tying the knot with any man anymore. I mean, we can live together, but I'm not doing this anymore. I mean, just look at the stigma. Just look at how disillusioned she's become. Just look at the trauma, the pain. Now, in those days, I want you to understand this. Women could not divorce men. It's only men that could divorce women. I mean, so that gives you a little context. She's been kicked out 5 times. That's what it means. She's been rejected 5 times. I mean, that's a very, very bad place to be. So, and that was her life. Then she met Jesus. Wow. And everything changed. She met Jesus in what looked like an ordinary encounter by the well. And by the time Jesus was done with her, Jesus turned that woman into an international evangelist. Jesus turned her into a credible witness. First of all, Jesus gave her a satisfaction that she never had. I think that woman understood something when Jesus said, I will give you a water. Hallelujah. So the water that I will give you, you will never thirst. The woman said to Jesus, Sir, give me this water. Hallelujah. Give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here. Jesus gives water that satisfies. Jesus gives satisfaction. He fulfills us. He satisfies our soul. Isn't that how the psalmist put it? He restores my soul. He satisfies my yearning, my desire, my yearning for fulfillment. Jesus feels that. I don't know where you are. I don't know what story you resonate with. Maybe you are like the woman with the issue of blood, sick, broke, hopeless. Or maybe you are like the Samaritan woman, having gone through so many pain of rejection and trauma, an encounter with Jesus can change all that. You know, we are now talking about these ordinary women telling their story over and over again. They are heroes. You know, how many dramas have been acted about them? I mean, Jesus immortalized them because of their encounter with Jesus. There's another woman that I thought of as I was thinking about this. We find our story in Luke chapter 13. Again, we don't know her, but we know her story, and that's what is important. The Bible said Jesus met this woman in the temple. Again, you can be in the temple and still be going through. The Bible said she was bent over backward. She was bent over and she could not straighten up. Sorry. Just imagine the pain of having to go through life like this. Bent over, could not stand up. I mean, can't even look at people's eyes. Can't even stand up and do things. Bent over and can't straighten up. And she's been going through that for 18 years. 18 years of being bent over. We don't know her story. Maybe it was an illness, an accident. But we know that she's been bent over. Jesus met her. Now, there were a few people there that thought she didn't really deserve the mercy of Jesus. And they were hiding even under some religious lingos. But it didn't matter. She met Jesus. I wanted to say, I want to meet Jesus. Doesn't matter where. Now, she's been in the temple and never met Jesus. It's important. Some people can be in church, but you haven't encountered Jesus. You might have heard about Jesus. You might know a few things about him. But you've never met him, because if you meet him, something will change about you. So Jesus prayed for this woman, and she straightened up. Hallelujah. But I love something that Jesus did about her. It was beyond just straightening up. First of all, straightening up is about restoring your dignity. Now you can stand up. Isn't that important? You can speak for yourself. Now she can stand. Now she can. She doesn't have to be looking down. But Jesus, in talking about her in verse 16, Luke chapter 13, he said, "Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham." I mean, that's dignifying her. You see, Abraham is the most revered person that you can associate anybody with in Israel. In the Jewish culture, Abraham is the father. And Jesus says, she's not just a woman bent over. She's a daughter of Abraham. Jesus gave her a new title, a new name. And Jesus restored her dignity. I see Jesus restoring someone's dignity. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is always in the business of restoring purpose, dignity, meaning, regardless of where he meets you. Even children, Jesus dignified. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was doing what he would always do. And you have to imagine Jesus is a very important person. This is someone that can raise the dead. This is someone that can walk over water. This is someone that fed 5,000, healed the sick. So his time is precious, heavily guarded by his protocol, his disciples. They wouldn't want Jesus' time to be wasted. Isn't that understandable? It's not the kind of person you can just expose to everywhere. Even our celebrities here, many of them can just walk on the street. It's too dangerous. They can be mobbed. I mean, people can just surround them. Their life can be so difficult. So the disciples were doing what they should do. Protect Jesus, from things that were not very important. So some people dared to bring kids to Jesus. And the disciples said, come on, let's not do this. The master needs to attend to important issues. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this. I mean, just imagine how those two kids feel. You have this uncle kicking you out, just yelling at you, just say, go! And Jesus says, stop! I want them to come. I think they will put their hand in their pocket and they will be... And Jesus said, let them come. In fact, the kingdom of God belongs to them. That's what Jesus does. He gives meaning. He gives dignity. There's another man called Lazarus. Many of us, I'm sure we know Lazarus, right? We know him. Lazarus was a man that was dead. That is, now, his own case was gone, right? The woman with the issue of blood, at least she was struggling, was still alive. The Samaritan woman, well, going through her emotional pain and garbage and whatever, but she was still there, hanging in there, right? The woman bent over backward, I can say, I'm still here. Maybe one day. But Lazarus, dead and buried. But he still encountered Jesus. Hallelujah. He still met Jesus, even in his dead state. And when Jesus shows up, he tells everyone, he said, look, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who meets me, though he was dead, shall live. Hallelujah. That is what it means to encounter Jesus. Everyone that met him, things change in their life. Even after the resurrection of Jesus, after he was arrested, that's what Easter is about, right? Arrested, tried, falsely condemned, punished, beaten, crucified, dead, buried. On the third day, Jesus rose again. Yeah. Hallelujah. And now he said, I am the living one. I was dead. I am now, I am alive. And I'm alive forever and ever. I still continue to do my work of transformation. It means we can still encounter Jesus. Today, anyone can still encounter Jesus. We can encounter the Spirit of Jesus. We can encounter the person of Jesus. In fact, we know someone. His name was Saul. Saul was a mean, angry, bitter individual. I mean, you can imagine just how mean and angry he was. That you made it your job to go about and beat people preaching something you don't even believe. Why not just live your life? Right? if you don't believe what they preach, just don't believe it and just live your life. But he said, you know what? I'm just going to have to go after people who preach it. Mean, angry, bitter individual. And he was doing all that until he met Jesus. Wow. When you meet Jesus, you must change. Things change. Anytime people meet Jesus, they change. In fact, according to him himself, he said, I am the worst of all sinners. He was describing his life. He said, Jesus came to save sinners of whom I was chief. He was a chief sinner. I don't know if you're a chief sinner today. You're like, Pastor, I think my sin is, now we have the testimony of a chief sinner. Jesus turned him from a chief sinner or the worst sinner to the best of saints. He's considered the best Christian that ever lived. He took the gospel to Europe. He lived his life. He suffered for the same Jesus that he persecuted. He didn't die an angry, bitter, mean person. No. He died a fulfilled, happy, even facing death. He wrote, he said, I have finished my race. I have concluded my career. There await for me a crown of glory. That's what Jesus does. He gives meaning and he gives purpose to our life. Even the ugly part of our life, when given to Jesus, he brings the beauty out of it. That's why he must be alive for us to be Christians. That's why he must be alive for us to encounter him. Everything we've talked about depends on encounter. That's why my message today is to invite you to meet Jesus. Don't just check a religious box. You know, I fill a form. Am I a Christian? Yes, check it. No, that doesn't make you a Christian. Don't just say, you know, at least I try to go to church once a month or maybe every other week. No, that's not enough. Don't just say, you know what, I try to do my best. You know, I try to be nice to people. I try to be kind. You know, I recycle. All right? I don't throw, you know, bottles on the ground. I care about the world. I care about the Mother Earth, you know. I'm nice to people. I'm even nice to animals. Because there's so many people, they are not nice to animals. They even wear fur coats. How can you wear fur coats? The most important thing, have you met Jesus? If you have never met Jesus, you haven't met meaning. You haven't met purpose. Because he gives meaning to our life. He gives meaning to our existence. Why am I alive? What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of what I've gone through? Jesus brings significance. out of everyone he meets. You see, there is significance in every one of us. There is purpose talk in every one of us. There is dignity in every one of us. The enemy has done a good job by robbing us of all that, but Jesus restores that. Everywhere people have a genuine encounter with Jesus, things change. It gives meaning to our existence. And he continues to do it today. There are several testimonies here of many people who could talk about their past life. I was reading about someone in the course of the week. He was a journalist. I'm not even sure he was really a Christian, but he said, he was writing. He said, you know, he was writing about James Dobson. James Dobson is in some political circle, is an anathema, right? He's, you know, evangelical Christian that was really actively involved in politics. And he said something that was very significant. He said, of all the negative things that people said about evangelical Christians, he said, I have an experience that I want to share. He said, my father was a very mean father. When I was young, I could never remember him being happy. He was always angry, always using foul language, always mean, always very abusive. See, all of a sudden, I began to see him being different. All of a sudden, he was kind. He said, I was a young boy. Even as a boy, I noticed. And I asked my mom, what the heck happened to dad? And the mom said, you see, your dad started listening to a Christian radio, started listening to a man called James Dobson, and actually started attending church. And all of a sudden, his life changed. He became kinder, a gentleman, stopped using foul language, stopped being abusive. There are millions and millions of stories like that all over the world, of Jesus transforming people because of an encounter. It gives meaning and purpose. I am an example of someone transformed by Jesus. Gave me meaning and purpose. I could never have imagined I would be doing what I'm doing today. But I could not be doing something else today. Being used by God to raise a church like this, being used by God, being given a wonderful family of hundreds and hundreds of people, being given the privilege of making impact in hundreds and hundreds of life. That can only be as a result of an encounter with Jesus. All that happened because at the age of 19, I met Jesus. Now, I grew up in church. I knew about Jesus. I read the stories. I grew up in a Baptist church. I went through what we call sunbeam. They tell us stories, memorize the scriptures. But at the age of 19, I actually met the man Jesus. Changed my heart. And started to give me a new reason to live. And in the course of time, transformed my heart to be who I am today. That is the story of Easter. It's a story of encounter. It's a story of Jesus meeting people, encountering people, and giving meaning to their lives. Giving hope to the hopeless. Restoring dignity to people who have lost it. Giving beauty for ashes. I'm going to read a scripture as I close. Isaiah 61 verse 3. This is talking about the ministry of Jesus. Ministry of Jesus, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. One of what he has come to do is to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is the purpose of Jesus. We're going to pray. I want all of us to bow down our heads. I want to give many people an opportunity today to meet Jesus, to encounter him. I don't know who you feel you can relate with out of all the people we've talked about today. I don't know where you are. But now you say, you know, if I can encounter Jesus, I want to meet him. And you want to say, Pastor, how can I? I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And if you're in that, I want you to please raise up your right hand. God bless you. There are many people here who need to make that decision tonight, this morning. Please raise up your right hand. Let me know. I want to pray with you. God bless you. I'm going to give 10 more seconds. Jesus is interested. He wants to meet you. He wants to encounter you. Can you please stand where you are? I think it's a little easier if you stand. Ma'am, please stand. Just stand where you are. God bless you. There are a few more people here that need to stand and join them. I'm going to give you 15 more seconds. And if you're watching online, Jesus sees you. God bless you. I'm going to give a few more seconds. I have a witness in my spirit. There's a couple of people here. Jesus is knocking on your door. He said, I want to give meaning to your life. You need an encounter with me. I need to bring significance out of your life. I want to give you purpose. I want to turn your ashes to beauty. Yes. I want to transform your story. Please harden up your heart. Please don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If the Holy Spirit is knocking your heart, can you please stand up? Please stand up. Because I want to pray with you. I want to ask Jesus to encounter you. I want to invite Jesus that met so many people that we've talked about. I want to invite him to meet you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We have a few people. I think God planned this service for you. If you can please come to me, I'd like to pray with you. I'll pray with everybody, but I want to pray specifically for these people. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's honor them. Let's just praise God for their life. If you still want to join them, you can, please. This is very important. This is very significant. On this Resurrection Sunday morning, Jesus is still in the business of transforming life. He's still in the business of transforming life. You are here to meet Jesus. I want you to come with me. Just come around. And I'm going to pray with you. Amen. Just hold my hand. I want you to repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you because you died for me. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose again. I invite you into my life. I want to encounter you. Give meaning to my life. Let me know who you are. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you today for your people, your daughters that you have touched, that you have brought here today. Holy Spirit, I commend them to you. I ask that this decision they've made today, you will ensure you will follow them up yourself. You will see them through. You will show them Jesus. They will experience you. They will have testimonies. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have more people here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor Hibi has something for you. I think, can you just grab it from him? Okay. All right. So they will take you. Okay. Oh, they came from the overflow. Okay. Please come. They came from the overflow. I'll just pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray. You know their heart. They've made this decision without, you know, despising the shame. Will you honor their heart? Will you honor their decision today? Jesus, let them encounter you. In more ways that I can describe, let them encounter you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. And the Lord will hear your prayer. In Jesus' name.